The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Hey, good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk. We're glad you joined us. My name's Tony Bush in the studio this morning with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. Looks like we're going to have a kind of a dreary day, and I guess everybody's a little dreary after Wisconsin's loss last night. But
yeah, they played a good game.
Yeah, yep.
They played a good game.
It was.
Well, we're glad you joined us this morning. Biz Talk is brought to you each weekend by the Fox City Score chapter located here in Appleton. We're in the Fox City's Chamber building. We'll tell you a little bit more about our chapter in a little bit. We always want to bring you a guest each weekend that helps you understand your business a little better. This morning we have a great show. We have Sarah DeBruin is on. Sarah's the owner, and she's an attorney. She's an owner of Legal Business Edge, LLC. And we're going to be talking about copyrights and trademarks and kind of focusing on intellectual property this morning. If you have a question for us, please give us a call at 281-1150 in Appleton, 281-1150. If you're outside Appleton, you'll be able to reach us at 866-887-1150. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Tony and Randy.
Welcome. Welcome to the program this morning. Yeah, thanks. We're going to be talking about intellectual property, and you wanted to focus a little bit on copyrights. There's a lot to a copyright. But before we start that conversation, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you're located, and how can folks reach you?
Sure, sure. I was graduated from law school in Ohio in 1992. I worked for a very large law firm there. I did do some copyright infringement litigation at the federal level in federal court there. I then moved back home to my home state of Wisconsin in Appleton and became general counsel for a manufacturing company where I built up a large intellectual property portfolio worth of patents, copyrights, and trademarks. And after 10 years of doing that, I started my new law firm, my own business in 2011, Legal Business Edge, and I'm going strong. I have a real strong business practice, a lot of copyright and trademark and intellectual property work and transactional real estate work, estate planning,
and across the board. How can folks reach you, Sarah? Where are you located?
I am located on North Mead Street in Appleton, 2631 North Mead Street. My phone number there is 920-991-0404, and you can reach me at my website, www.legalbusinessedge.com.
Great.
And tell me, Sarah, when you said your background there, how did you find that as far as the difference between the big business legal situation with intellectual property and then working with the small business with the entrepreneur?
Well, big business intellectual property is expensive. It's core to a big business. A lot of money is involved in any kind of intellectual property litigation, whether it be copyrights or patents or misuse of a trademark, for instance. In the small business arena, there are many intellectual property options that are less expensive, and that's what I like to talk about for small business owners. Things like copyrights or trademarks, they're less expensive than a patent. A trade secret, for instance, is a confidential, crucial piece of business information or technology that a company keeps as a trade secret. It never is made public, and the company takes steps to protect that trade secret by non-compete agreements, confidentiality agreements, et cetera, with third parties and their own employees.
I'd like to point out to the listening audience this morning that Sarah DeBruin at Legal Business Edge is also a sponsor of BizTalk. So we want to thank her for being a sponsor of BizTalk. It's very helpful to have you as a SCORE mentor and also as a sponsor of BizTalk. And we really enjoy when you do come on the show because folks do tend to call in with questions on legal issues, but you do a very good job of explaining the differences in some of the legal areas. So thanks for your support for SCORE and the Fox Cities.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. I enjoy very much working with all of my mentees and anybody in general with SCORE. It's a great, great organization.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah, let's start with the definitions of it can be confusing. So we have copyrights and trademarks and patents and trade secrets. And can you give a quick distinction between some of those more common terms as we focus in on copyrights?
Sure. I think the easiest way to distinguish them is what does each protect?
Mm-hmm.
A patent will protect a product, a design of a product, the idea behind a product, a methodology of production, a technology, whereas a trademark is an identity of a good or service. You associate a mark or a logo, for instance,
like a brand or something.
Nike Swoop. It's a branding of a product or a service that a company sells. A trade secret, as I said before, is a crucial piece of information. It may be business methodology. It may be a piece of equipment and how it works that a company protects and never divulges to the public, makes its employees protect through employment agreements, protects from third parties through confidentiality agreements. Those are never published.
The classics on that would be something like Coca-Cola or Colonel Sanders recipe, those types of things?
Absolutely. The recipe for Coca-Cola or even the recipe for your local restaurant's pizza sauce, for instance.
Right.
And the distinguishment there is that's a trade secret right that can be held forever as long as the company takes steps to protect it. Now, a copyright, it doesn't protect ideas. It doesn't protect products. A copyright will protect an expression of original authorship. It has to have some element of creativity, but it has to be fixed in a tangible form. That's a statutory definition. Copyrights are defined under U.S. copyright law at the federal level. It preempts anything at the state level. That's where you
like
look
a menu?
For the
like a menu.
For instance, that's a great example of what a copyright could be for a business. Okay. A menu at a restaurant.
You express that as a specific definition. Would you say that again when you said what a copyright is?
Sure. There's three elements. There has originality to it in its expression of an idea that is fixed in a tangible form. And by that, I mean it's written down. It's recorded if it's, for instance, advertising or a TV commercial. Once it's recorded, once it's written down, once it's fixed in that form, it is copyrighted. It actually has copyrighted protection.
Okay.
At that point, whether you put the symbol C on something or not.
So there are three things? There was the original.
It has to be original or have some creative element. It has to be fixed.
Right.
And fixed means put in form, and the form has to be a tangible form where somebody can see it or hear it.
Okay. So many times business owners who are starting out, they have this idea, I'm going to be a landscaper, I'm going to own a restaurant, I'm going to start a bakery, whatever it might be. Unknowingly, they're creating copyright stuff that they want to, it's their idea.
Sure.
And they want to protect it.
Sure. Copyrighted in the context of business can be many things. It can be your employee manuals.
Mm-hmm.
It can be in a franchise agreement, the franchise menu that comes with Red Robin, for instance.
Maybe
that is a copyrighted piece of material. Employee handbooks.
I design a little logo for my company. I have a name for my company.
A logo?
Marketing material for my company.
Marketing material is a good example of what can be copyrighted. A logo is a good example of a trademark.
Okay.
A business name is called a trade name.
Okay.
It's not a protected right. You can file for a trade name or a doing business as name in the state of Wisconsin,
WDFI.
But it's not it's not an enforceable right until after a long period of time you have ownership and usage associated. Then you have some right to that trade name.
Okay.
As a small businessman starting out, when should I really start thinking about whether or not I have a copyrightable piece of material, or when should I be looking at that? When do you usually suggest for somebody to start thinking about that sort of thing?
Well, if you are creating, if you have a business where you trade employees, for instance, and you want them to perform certain acts in a specific way, or you hire employees, for instance, to do designing for you, graphic work, graphic design work, website work.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all items you want to have copyrighted. And just by virtue of the fact that you employ those people who do those tasks for you and develop that copyrighted material, the employer owns it. It's okay. Called a work for hire, a work made for hire under the Copyright Act.
Okay. Yeah, that's very important that people understand who owns what when you come into that sort of thing.
Right. Typically, the author or the creator is the owner of a copyright. But once you are employed and you're doing a task that you create a copyrightable work for an employer, it is the employer's property and, by definition, a work made for hire under the Copyright Act.
Okay.
What can an entrepreneur do, Sarah, to establish copyright ownership of a menu? Is it just preparing the menu, or should they do something to let the world know that they're claiming that?
Well, like I said, as soon as it's in written form, it's copyrighted.
Just by default?
By default. That is the current law. The current law also says you do not need to no longer put the Circle C or a copyright notice on it to have that protection.
Okay.
However, putting that copyright notice on there with a Circle C, the word copyright, the year of creation or the year of last revision, and your name on it is an effective way to, first of all, identify that it's copyrightable work and also establish some sort of ownership in a lawsuit in case it is infringed upon.
So someone can't say, well, I didn't know. Because you have those elements at the bottom of
it. Yes, so in an infringement case, it would be a defense against an innocent infringement claim by somebody who's using your copyright material.
Okay. And like I said before, you know, there's other questions about who owns what when. One of the areas there's a lot of questions are in the area of websites and that type of thing with the social media and electronics. How is that, you know, differentiated from the other parts?
Well, first of all, the fundamental rules are you create a website and provide content. That content on your website is the business owner's. It is copyrighted.
Okay.
If you go to a developer to supply the code and to do the behind-the-scenes creation of that website, that is your property or the business owner's property, as long as, and this is really an important reminder to business owners, you have what is called a work for hire agreement with that code developer or website developer. You have to have that in writing in order to preserve that as your property of your business.
And you just don't assume that.
No, you can't assume that. When you're using a third party to design something for you or draw specifications or CAD drawings for your product, you need a work-for-hire agreement.
Okay.
That's very crucial, and it has to be in writing. That's defined by law.
Okay,
with that, we're going to take our first break this morning. We're talking with Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, LLC, and we're talking about copyrights and other intellectual property matters. You're listening to BizTalk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.
Need help taming your business's financial beast? Albertson Hailing CPAs can simplify your financial situation and guide you from payroll to tax planning and more. Let's crack the whip on your business's finances, helping you feel more comfortable. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Your legal business concerns are important to me. Legal Business Edge delivers value by working as a partner with you, our client, to help you understand your legal options. Focusing just on business law, we take the time to get to know your business and develop a legal strategy that will help you reach your business goals. Whether it involves intellectual property, contracts, negotiating for your rights, buying or selling a business, or organizing your business structure, Legal Business Edge gives you the creative legal options you need.
Sarah DeBruin provided our company solutions that saved us time and money, as the quality of her guidance and diligence provided creative solutions unparalleled by other attorneys.
Know your options. Call Legal Business Edge at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You've been looking for a new house.
Hey, this one's nice.
You're searching online and touring open houses.
Ooh, I like this one.
It's time to get pre-approved. And nobody makes it faster or easier than Fox. Get free pre-approval for your loan right now. Coming to one of 17 Fox locations. Or get pre-approved online. You can also check your loan rate online. How easy is that? Just visit foxcu.org.
Okay, that was really easy.
Once you find the home of your dreams, don't let the stress of the home loan get in your way. Talk to the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Just 3% down on your loan.
Fox made it happen.
You can find the home of your dreams. Fox, helping you make life happen.
Equal housing opportunity lender.
Fox Communities.
And we're glad you're back with us this morning. We're BizTalk. We're talking with Sarah DeBruin, an attorney and owner of Legal Business Edge, LLC. We're talking intellectual properties, and we've been focusing on things like copyrights and trademarks and the distinctions. We're going to be continuing our conversation with Sarah in just a moment, but first we'd like to tell you a little bit about our SCORE chapter here in the Appleton area. We're the Fox City SCORE chapter. We service an 8-county area from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac, and we have about 55 volunteer mentors in our chapter who are willing to share their expertise with entrepreneurs who are starting up or those who are already in business. And our expertise includes areas of marketing, intellectual property, legal, accounting, banking, cash flow, HR, workflow, production, manufacturing. If you're in business and you have any questions about almost any area of business, check us out at foxcities.score.org, and we'd be happy to sit down with you. We provide free, no-cost mentoring confidentially for the life of your business. It's not just a one-meeting question-and-answer session. We can set up advice for you for as long as you need it, and we have 50-plus volunteers in our chapter, so if you're talking to Randy about marketing and the conversation turns to something legal, Sarah could be brought in to help you understand the legal implications of that question. So check us out at foxcities.score.org. Scores for the life of your business, and we want to help you. Sarah, we were talking a little bit in the first segment about this distinction between copyrights, trademarks, patents, and so on. We're focusing in on copyrights. And what is a poor man's copyright? Is there some sort of a definition of what a poor man's copyright is?
Sure, you could go right on the U.S. copyright website.
Where's
and
that?
Look at it. It's at U.S. copyright. You just look up Google U.S. copyright laws. But a poor man's copyright is simply what we've been talking about, where someone fixes something in a tangible form and slaps the C on it, the circle C or notice on it, without going to the copyright office to register that copyright.
Is it a lengthy process to register a copyright? What does it cost and how much time does it take?
It's actually pretty easy. Once you have a tangible form of what you want to have copyrighted, you submit that form through a registration process with a copyright office. There is no back and forth and like there is in the trademark process where you might conflict with somebody else's trademark, or sure. or you conflict with somebody else's patent in the patent process. It's relatively short, 6 months at the most, and it only costs $45 to register a trademark. It's a very inexpensive way that can protect something very crucial to your business.
So if someone prepared a menu, for example, for the restaurant, they take a picture of that digitally, a digital picture, send it to the copyright office, fill out the paperwork, pay the bill, $45.
Yes, you could do it online or you can do offline forms and send in the example of the written menu. In fact, I had a client call me with that very problem this week.
Really?
Where they had a menu and an ex-employee went and started the same type of restaurant and copied the menu almost exactly.
Wow.
So I got this call on Friday, and what do? Well, we're going to meet on Monday and talk about what we do next.
But that's a good illustration of maybe being proactive and not waiting till something like
Correct.
This comes up.
Because if you have something that is important and that is identifiable to your business,
right.
you are, for instance, a smoothie company, and you have all these cute names for all your smoothies and mm-hmm. the ingredients and all that stuff in it on the menu. That is something I would have copyrighted, and I would register it with a copyright office, because registration gives you a whole new set of enforcement rights that you don't have.
You have control now.
Yeah, you don't have that with a poor man's copyright without registration.
Yeah, if you don't take the steps to register with the copyright office, then you're trying to defend your ownership against anybody who's
right.
assailing you, really.
You have to prove that
right.
you own it. If you register a copyright and the copyright is automatically going to be registered, you are prima facie the owner of it. You never have to prove damages
right.
by when someone infringes it, and the registration entitles the owner to exact damages ranging from $750 to $30,000 per use of each copyrighted material. And you also could get attorney's fees if you have an infringer using your registered copyright.
Now's a good time to ask you again, Sarah. If someone is listening to the show and they have this question, I got to call somebody to figure out, what do I do? How do they get hold of you?
Well, again, you can call me at 991-0404. That's Legal Business Edge, LLC. And my website is www.legalbusinessedge.com.
Okay, well, that was a short segment for us. We're going to take our next break right now. We'll come back for a longer segment, and we'll put out that phone number again, inviting you to call us with questions. You're listening to BizTalk and WHBY, Real Local Radio.
I'm on my way out. I'm booked that day. I'll be washing my hair that night?
No matter what excuse you use, your business's finances won't fix themselves. Albertson Hailing CPAs can take the frustration out of your bookkeeping, taxes, and more. We'll help you understand and manage your situation. Visit albertshailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Ridgestone Bank. When it comes to business lending, you know we don't have boxes. I'm here with Christy Schwann from Stellaris Employee Benefits. We help Christy with a business buyout in a unique area of lending, the service industry.
I did talk with other banks that had some significant limitations on how they might be able to help me. I didn't have any hard assets on which they could base their valuation. Ridgestone Bank's financing decisions were not based on hard assets. Instead, what I had was cash flow, so they were able to, again, look at things in a very unique way and in a way that allowed me to purchase the companies in what was typically a complex situation, and they made it very, very simple for me. Because of their flexibility, because of the range of options that they provided for me, I don't think I'd be sitting where I am today if I hadn't worked with Ridgestone Bank.
Ridgestone Bank, listening to your story and finding a way to make it work. Whatever your it is. On the web at Ridgestone.com. That's Ridgestone.com. Member FDIC.
And we're talking this morning with Sarah DeBruin. Sarah's an attorney with Legal Business Edge, LLC, a company she started here in the Valley. We've been talking about intellectual property rights, copyrights, patents, trademarks, and we're going to continue speaking to Sarah about that in this next segment. But we first want to tell you a little bit more about our SCORE chapter here in the Fox Cities, in addition to what I mentioned in the last segment about the no-cost mentoring and confidential mentoring. We also do a number of seminars during the year. Randy, what's on the schedule?
Well, once again, we have a large number of activities going on. There's going to be at least three programs that we're going to have as far as seminars. I want to go over real quickly. The first one is a special panel program that's coming up. It's called Taking Your Business to the Next Stage. It's being held in cooperation with the Village of Hortonville as well as the Fox West Chamber. It's going to be held out at the Hortonville community, at the Hortonville Village Center, and it's going to be held on April the 12th. It'll be in the morning, starting with registration at 7:30. It's going to be a panel of specialists. They're going to include Lance Schmidt, who's from Wolf River Community Bank, Lisa Pakila from Coalesce, Amy Peach from the Fox Valley Technical Fox Valley Center Venture Center. We're also going to have Kevin Eisman from Epiphany Law, and then finally we're going to have Bob Molitor, one of our SCORE mentors, to help small businesses decide what they need to do, how they should move forward to get their businesses going. So this is for people who are just starting or have been in business for a while. The fee on that one is $10. Registration is at our website, which is foxcities.score.org. You go out to that and then register with the Fox West Chamber for that program. So that's a good one coming up April the 12th. The next program we have is going to be on email and social media. It's going to be a free event. This is going to be held on April 25th. It'll be held at the Appleton Public Library. It's going to be at 4 o'clock in the evening starting, and we're going to have special presentations on how to grow your business using email and social media, which, of course, everybody is very, very interested in today. So, again, that one, April 25th, 4 p.m., register, Fox City. cities.score.org, and that one is free. The third one we're going to be doing is coming up, and that is how to structure your business. We're going to have two very well-known presenters. One is going to be our guest today. Sarah DeBruin is going to be working with that on that's going to be held on May 4th, along with Kurt Haling from Albertson Haling CPAs. That one, again, is going to be talking about the different structures. Should I be an LLC? Am I a sole proprietorship? Am I a partnership? S-Corp, C-Corp, and why, how that affects things both for taxes, for your business, and how everything operates. So, again, very, very important if you're just starting out. That is going to be $25 registration fee for that program. It'll be held at the SCORE office at the Fox Cities Chamber. Again, register foxcities.score.org, and that will be held on May the 4th, and that will be held at 3:30 in the evening, in the afternoon, for registration. So those are the three programs we have for education. However, the other big program we have coming up is going to be on May 3rd. I want to mention that, and that's going to be the Small Business Week celebration. It's going to be held out at the Breezewood Conference Center in Neenah. It's going to be a reception along with presentations to small business success and also partners with SCORE. It's going to be held in conjunction with the four local chambers, including Fox Cities Chamber, Fox West, the Heart of the Valley Chamber, and also the Oshkosh Chamber. So, again, plan on that one. It's going to be a free program open to small businesses, people who are interested in helping business and who've been involved in businesses throughout the Fox Cities. And that, again, you can register, although it's free. We'd appreciate the registration, and that you can go out to foxcities.score.org. So just go out to that site. There's a lot of things out there in addition to these programs or webinars and many other things you need to be aware of.
Yeah, the May 3rd event is going to be a lot of fun.
Right.
We're expecting a good turnout, and we invite you, anyone who's listening to, as Randy mentioned, go out to foxcities.score.org, register, and we'll see you there. We're going to have hors d'oeuvres, and we're going to have door prizes,
right,
and have a lot of fun. Well, we've been talking with Sarah DeBruin this morning at Legal Business Edge LLC about intellectual property and so on, and we were talking about copyrights. We're kind of focusing on copyrights. Sarah, tell us a little bit about some of the methods folks can use to protect their copyright.
Sure. Well, the easy one is the poor man's copyright. Put your C symbol on it, and that's not even required by law anymore. If you have, a brochure of advertising materials, a PowerPoint presentation that describes your business, you can put that C on, circle C on. You don't need to put it on every page. You put it on the front page where it's noticeable. You don't need to repeat it every page.
Yep.
And you should put the year of creation, publication, and your name as well.
Okay.
The other way is to register it, as I
described
before. Yeah,
it's a pretty simple process, really.
It is an easy process.
We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Jerry. Do you have a question for Sarah?
Yeah, I do. I'm starting a business, and I took my idea to an attorney, a patent attorney, and I'm just kind of curious. He seems to be kind of slow in the process. He's had the stuff for about 18 months and charged me a goodly amount of money, and I haven't filed for my patent yet. What is that, normal, or?
He's had your idea for 18 months, and you've paid him money for it already?
Yes.
And it's... In my experience, 18 months is way too long for, it's my opinion, and I can only give you my opinion, but 18 months he should have something filed. If it is, if your invention is something you want to go to market for, and you have to be very careful of the time lapse of when you for instance, put out your product to other people or advertise it or use it experimentally. There's a year time period once it's disclosed within which a patent must be filed or you will lose the right to it. But if your patent attorney's had it that long and you've paid him the money, I would ask him to get it filed or give you your money back. That's my view.
Okay. I'll push him for it and see what happens.
But yeah, give me a call. I'm happy to talk to you offline about it a little bit.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. That's a good question because sometimes folks are looking to protect their intellectual property and they don't understand the process. So they rely on an attorney, and the attorney may say, well, this and well, that and well, this and well, that. It's always good for the entrepreneur to keep their radar up and keep checking in and keep it going and talk to the attorney up front and ask them, what is the timeline to get this accomplished?
Absolutely. When you use an attorney, they work for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They work for you, and you want something filed quickly. I have seen patents filed within a matter of days on things that are even kind of complex.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now, I noticed on your stuff that you do meet with the person as a free consultation at the front end. When you do that, do you go over some of these questions like that, the timeline, how that works and so on?
Certainly. I usually offer new clients about an hour of my time to ask whatever they want and to see if perhaps I'm a fit with them or if I need to refer them to another business attorney or a specific attorney in another area.
That's a great idea. You have to understand what the client is looking for before you can say, I can help you.
Sure.
And oftentimes clients can't articulate what they're looking for.
Right.
So it takes a little conversation to fish through that and identify those things. Sarah, in terms of copyrights and patents and trademarks and such, protecting them is filing them and defending them and so on. But another way might be to, if a company is in existence, they're an operating company, and now they have three trademarks and some copyrights and a patent or something, maybe as that begins to develop and grow that intellectual property, form a separate company and have that company own those intellectual property rights, licensing your operating company to use it.
Sure.
And then if the operating company is ever sued, there's so much value in those intellectual property assets. You can go a long way to protect those assets from being obtained in a lawsuit.
Absolutely. And you know, those issues also come into play when your operating business may dissolve because a partner dies or one of the members gets divorced and we're a marital property state and the ex-spouse has all these rights in it. You want to protect those patents. Patents, trademarks, copyrights, they're all pieces of property that need to be protected, and you can do that by forming a separate holding company.
If you have a question for Sarah this morning, give us a call at 281-1150 here in Appleton, 281-1150. Outside Appleton, call us on the TDS Metrocom toll-free line, 866-887-1150.
Okay. Sarah, well, as we go in talking about the various things about copywriting, one of the biggest areas, of course, everybody has involved in is the Internet and how that plays into what is copyrighted, how you do that, and so on. I know there's things that have been changing and so on. Can you kind of give us a walkthrough on how, oh, let's say, even working with things like YouTube or that or Facebook
those kinds
of things get involved?
Those are really important issues today. The Digital Millennium Copyright Act was enacted in 1998 to address a lot of the new technology. And that is a very complicated law, so I'm not going to get into all the nitty-gritty there. But for business owners, the main thing to remember is if it's on the Internet, it doesn't mean it's free to use. It can still be copyrighted. And you should have, as a business, a standard set of procedures to make sure you are looking into copyrights and seeking copyright protection. You know, often you may go on a website and look at somebody's charts for their business or for their industry, and you may want to take that and copy that and put it in your own business plan, even if it's for your own private use. That's a copyright infringement, mm-hmm. you know, whether the copyright owner finds out or not. It's a copyright infringement, and you should have protections in your business for your employees, not to just assume mm-hmm. a picture, an icon, any kind of image on the website, on mm-hmm. a website or on the Internet in general, when you Google images, that it's not a copyrighted item.
Okay.
We have another caller on the line, Sarah. Good morning, Tim. Do you have a question for Sarah?
Yeah. Just wondering, we run a guide service here in the Valley, and over the years we've been doing a lot of experimenting around with some lures, and we've got kind of a system worked out that's really doing a nice job of catching fish. It uses other things with trademark and copy and intellectual property, but it combines them in a different way. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about is there anything that we can do to get this launched? And the other thing I'm wondering also, does international work the same way? So if we take this to Canada, would that work the same way as U.S. and filing and doing some things? So what I'll do is I'll hang up and listen to your answer and might follow up with you offline some other time, Sarah.
Sure. Sure. If you have patents that are involved in your lures or items that you are using in your business, those are issues. Those are items that would be subject to patent law. And patent law in foreign jurisdictions is a whole separate area outside of the U.S. You need to, if you're filing a U.S. patent within a year of the filing, you need to preserve your right to file in other foreign jurisdictions. Now, if you have a standard procedure that you're using to enhance the way you guide people in and you train your employees in how to catch fish, that standard operating procedure or operating manual is something that can be copyrighted and used as a piece of your business that's a valuable piece of your business. Trademarks, obviously, the name of your business is not necessarily trademarkable, but you would trademark any kind of brand name you give to your products that you're using, for instance. Those are a lot of questions, yeah. But it brings up one issue with respect to copyrights. Foreign owners of copyrights, they do not need to go through the registration process or do anything. They are automatically protected under state law or U.S. law, and it's very different. Authors in the U.S. that create things in the U.S. have to follow the U.S. copyright laws, but under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and other later versions of the original copyright laws, foreign owners of copyrights have automatic protection in the U.S. It's a kind of a complicated
issue there. Is there reciprocity?
Well, by reciprocity, yes, there is, because foreign creators automatically a protection if in this marketplace in the United States.
So if we create something in this country, are we automatically covered in Canada or Europe?
No, not necessarily. It doesn't go that way.
Okay, there's no reciprocity.
There are a lot of amendments to the Copyright Acts that have adopted different treaties between different countries
that govern
those foreign relationships and foreign operating rules with respect to copyright.
The business owner has to check it
out. That stuff is pretty complicated.
They could go check out Legal Business Edge. Mm-hmm. Where can they reach you?
991-0404 in Appleton, www.legalbusinessedge.com.
Okay. When we talk about what the businessman should do, there's always a series of best practices that people should follow. When you're talking to someone, what do you recommend, for instance, just in the area of copywriting? What are the best practices that someone should follow to protect them?
Well, for instance, it depends on your type of business. If you are a tutoring business, for instance, and you've developed this unique way to train your employees and how to tutor kids to take the ACT,
mm-hmm.
and you have an operating manual and you have a training manual and you have conceived of this, you put it down in writing, it's a fixed piece of work, I would copyright that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also double protect yourself with non-compete agreements and
sure.
all that sort of thing, and agreements with your employees that make sure it is called a work for hire.
Okay. When should you have these, for instance, in a specific place where you keep them on a regular basis and keep that up to date?
Well, any revision,
mm-hmm.
say you revise your manual or you revise your software in 2 years, 3 years down the road, that's what is called a derivative work, and it is still protected under the original copyright. A derivative mm-hmm. work is a work that copies or incorporates most of or a lot of or a substantial portion of the original copyrighted
work. Like an extension of the original work.
Yep. Sure.
Okay, with that, we're going to take our last break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll continue our conversation with Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, LLC, here in Appleton, and you're listening to BizTalk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.
Subtract line 6 from 13, put in box 5 on form 1040 EZ. Easy? Really?
Taxes can be daunting, especially when it comes to your business. From asset protection to payroll and more, we can help reduce the stress of your business's financial situation. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Alberts & Haling. Personal connections. Positive results.
Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Welcome back to our final segment this morning. We're talking with Sarah DeBruin of Legal Business Edge, LLC. We're talking intellectual property, copyrights, spending a lot of time on copyrights this morning. And we'll get right back to Sarah. We first would like to thank the sponsors who help bring you this program each weekend. And we'd like to acknowledge them every weekend. They're Fox Communities Credit Union, Alberts & Haling CPAs, Legal Business Edge, LLC. So thank you, Sarah, for sponsoring BizTalk and supporting our SCORE chapter. Also want to thank Byline Bank, formerly known as Ridgestone Bank, Tundraland, Brian Gottlieb and his crew at Tundraland. Thanks for your sponsorship of BizTalk. Also want to thank Candeo Creative, Zach Pawlowski and his crew in Oshkosh, who built our website, biztalkwithscore.com. If you have missed a program or would like to listen to this show again, you can go to our website, biztalkwithscore.com. We have over 5 years of archived programs out there. And we thank Zach for helping us to create that. Well, he created it, but help us to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to thank the Business News, Jerry Mader, Larry Desch, for promoting our program, our weekly program, and their biweekly periodical, The Business News. If you're in business or thinking of going into business and you're not subscribed to The Business News, gosh, for just $20 a year, you really should be subscribed to The Business News. It will provide you with a lot of helpful information about what's going on in the business community in East Central Wisconsin. So thanks, Jerry and Larry, and thanks to all of our sponsors. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, please reach out to us at foxcities.score.org. We'd be happy to have you on as a sponsor. Sarah, we've been talking about copyrights and so on. Can you tell us a few of the examples of valuable copyrights that folks might be able to relate to? Because that might help them in understanding what they're doing in their business may have some value, too.
Oh, sure. Some of the things that automatically come to mind are the Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
What Walt Disney did was actually genius. He took what is in the public domain, fairy tales that were hundreds of years old, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White. He made movies, and those are copyrighted movies. And no one else can make a Snow White movie. No one else can make a Sleeping Beauty or a Cinderella movie.
Can't even make another movie on it.
No. And the other thing is the original Mickey Mouse cartoon was copyrighted. As that copyright was about to expire, there was a law in 1978, I think it was sponsored by Sonny Bono, and it was called the Sonny Bono Copyright Act, that extended the length of time that a copyright owned by a corporation would last. Copyrights do expire. They have, for an original owner, just a single owner, an author, it's 70 years after their death. That's when the copyright expires. For a business, it's 95 years after publication or 120 years after its original creation. But Disney, by copywriting the original Mickey Mouse movie, the word Mickey Mouse, everything Mickey Mouse is supposed to expire in 2019.
Really?
So what Disney did, and this is kind of it's kind of another strike of genius, I guess, is they have trademarked symbols of Mickey Mouse. For instance, the Mickey Mouse hat with the Mickey Mouse ears. That is now trademarked. Trademarks can last as long as you pay the fees for them and as long as you continue to use them. So even though Mickey Mouse, the character, the cartoon character, may be copyrighted and the copyright's going to expire, they're still going to have all the trademark rights associated with the Mickey Mouse ears because it's so symbolic of that business.
And the reason they do that is there's a lot of value in those symbols.
Absolutely.
In that material. And they don't want other people to capitalize on their work.
Sure.
And every entrepreneur should think the same way.
Right.
Every entrepreneur should think about what they're doing in their business has value. And you used the example earlier in the show about the restaurant. And someone copied a menu and started their own restaurant. The original restaurant owner has value in that menu.
Absolutely.
Protect it.
Another idea is you have a demonstration of your product on YouTube.
Right.
Register it for a copyright before you do that. That's valuable.
And how do folks get a hold of you?
LegalBusinessEdge.com, 991-0404.
Great.
And Sarah, well, we're down to the point where we have 1 minute left. So I'm going to ask you for a very quick but pertinent biz tip.
Well, my business tip to most employers is to have your best standard of practice. Training your employees, they can't just go on the internet and copy things. You need to protect yourself from getting into trouble with infringing other people's copyrights.
Okay, so think before you lift.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good.
Well, Sarah, I want to thank you for the show this morning. It was a really, really good program. Thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome. Enjoyed it.
Next weekend, we're going to have Carrie Zems on as our guest. She's talking about Above Youth Centers, Inc. So that's going to be a really good show. And we want to thank you again, Sarah, for being our guest this morning. Thanks for all those who called in. We hope to hear from you next week. And you've been listening to BizTalk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.